Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin, of course, at the beginning of our new Masechta, at the Mishnah. However, before we begin the actual Mishnah, let us just remind all of our listeners that we will, Mirtz Hashem, be using the book of illustrations known as the Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush. This sefer, this book, covers the entire Masechta. From time to time, we'll make direct reference to illustrations in the book. However, even in the event that we don't make a direct reference, we advise having the book available alongside your Gemara, as you will want to make references to it on your own. On the side of the Gemara, we have our Nosei, our topic heading, that introduces the Sugya. On the side, we've written Midos, Begova, Verochav, Mavui. We'll be dealing with sizes, dimensions of the width, and gova is the height, and the rochav, the width of a mavui. A mavui is an alleyway. Generally speaking, when you see the mavui, it's a mavui that's closed on three sides and has an entrance to a public thoroughfare, to a rishus harabim. Along the three sides, you might refer to it as a dead end street. There are courtyards and that are known as chatzeros, and houses that open into those courtyards that are lining the mavui. One can see a picture of a mavui at the first illustration on page 1, illustration number 1. Before we actually learn the Mishnah and the Gemara, Rashi provides a wonderful introduction that will have even more meaning for those of you who have learned Maseches Shabbos. So, let's first take a look at the Rashi to serve as an introduction. Movoi shugavoa, sheinichu es hakura lemalo meesrim amo, v'kura zu lahatir letatil lesoichaboa. A kura is a crossbeam. So as you look, you can keep one finger, so to speak, on the diagram, and you'll see at the entrance to the mavui, and you'll notice in diagram number 2, an entranceway that is very high, meaning it's more than 20 amos. An amos is generally thought of as having dimension of every amo has in it six tfochim. Six tfochim is a hand breadth. That's a general rule of thumb. And in picture number 2, you can see there's an arrow indicating a height of 20 amos, and there's a crossbeam on the right-hand side picture that's a height of more than 20 amos. That's what's referred to here in Rashi. This crossbeam is designed to allow carrying inside the alleyway. Rashi continues, "Midoraisa itzar hotzas ushesuram b'Shabbos." From a Torah level, there is a prohibition of carrying in a public thoroughfare on Shabbos. Umahi rishus harabim. What is a Torah considered rishus harabim? Sratya uplat yigdola. Sratya is like a thoroughfare, a highway, a street, a major street. In fact, with letter switching, you can see something that looks like the word street in the word sratya. Plat yagdola, and here too you have a word that reminds you of a more common word, plaza, a large plaza in which many people congregate. Kidamon the perek yitzias haShabbos, like is taught in the first perek of Shabbos, whose name is yitzias haShabbos, shedoymin ledigle midbar. A sratya, a plat yagdola, is similar to the encampment of the Jews in the desert when they were leaving Mitzrayim, when they left Egypt. The desert represents the site in which the Mishkan was set up. The Chol Mili de Shabbos mi Mishkan Gamrinon. All details of Hilchas Shabbos are learned from the Mishkan. The Agola Shelvim, the wagons that the Levim used to carry the boards, the beams constituting the Mishkan, Berochav 16 Amor Asli. The width of the wagons, when measured from side by side in their total width, mounted to 16 Amos. Kidamoran Bahazorek, as is pointed out in Perek Hazorek of Masechet Shabbos. Hilkoch Lohavi, which is Rabban Botzir, mi 16 Amo Rochav. Therefore, because the Agolos traveled in such a fashion, side by side, with this dimension of 16 amos across, that is what determines the size of a Rishus Rabbim. Umefulosh Mishnei Roshin, and a Rishus Rabbim also is open on two ends, as you would imagine, is a thoroughfare. Avol Movui Kotzer, who? V'eno Rochav, 16 amo. A Movui is shorter, and it doesn't have a width of 16 amos. V'inami Rochav, who? Even if it is wide, eno Mefulosh, it's not a through street. Elo Rosho Echot Po, Suach Rishus Rabbim, one end of it is open to a public thoroughfare, Verosho Echot Sosim, the other end is closed off. Diavi Mefulosh, if it were an alley that's open on two ends, Lo Tave Mishteri Bekora, it wouldn't have been allowed to carry in it with a crossbeam. Kidamrim Begemora, as the Gemara will point out, the cave of the Lavrish is a Rabbim who, and since the alleyway, when it's closed on three sides, is not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Shorot Tuli Bei Minatora B'lishum Tikkun, it is allowed to carry inside such an alleyway without, from a Torah standpoint, without any Tikkun. Tikkun would be some type of, without any innovation. For Rabbonon Gozer Olei Mishum Dasil Chul Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Rabbonon instituted a restriction on an alleyway, even if it's closed on three sides, because people can come to confuse it, L'chufis, to confuse it with a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, with a public thoroughfare. For Shayua B'takonoso, the Lechi Okora, the Shayua means the Rabbonon allowed, permitted, carrying in it with the innovation of either a Lechi as an upright beam, or a Korah crossbeam. The upright beam, the Lechi idea, would it be involved setting up an upright beam at the corner of the entranceway. Delevei Hekera, that will serve as a recognition, the Lo Lesi Lemishri Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Gemura, so people will not come to carry, allow carrying in an absolute a public thoroughfare. So we have to have either a crossbeam or an upright beam called a Lechi to create this mark of distinction, namely that the Mavoi is not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and therefore people will carry in it. A public thoroughfare Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, one cannot carry in. And one who does carry in a public thoroughfare, carries for a distance of 4 amos after having picked it up and then put the item down 4 amos later, is in violation of a Torah-level obligation, a Torah-level transgression. We now turn to the Mishnah. Mavui shehu gavoah me'esrim amo ima'et. Rabbi Yehuda Omer einot tzorach. We've broken down the Mishnah with a Roman numeral 1, and then we have a Roman numeral 2. The Roman numeral 1 focuses on gavoah. The problem with this mavui is the crossbeam is too high. It's more than 20 amos from the ground. Therefore, opinion Aleph says Yima'i, lower it. Opinion Beis, Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer, Eino Tzorach. The fact that it's more than 20 amos is not reason for needing to lower it, because Rabbi Yehuda says even above 20 amos, the Korah is effective. Roman numeral 2, V'harochav, me'eser amos yima'eit. If the Mavui's entranceway is more than 10 amos across, again, yima'eit is reduce it, put up boards. Rashi says, 10 amos is the maximum dimension of a regular entranceway. Something that is more than 10 amos is called a breach. Notice the word pirza. If you look at that word phonetically, you can even see the English word breach in there. Vanan bo'inon pesach. We require for a movoi to be considered a movoi and allowed to be carried. Inside of it, you need an opening, a pesach, not a breach. V'tzorach linoitz konim l'may rochav knisosa. And in order to reduce, let's say you have an entranceway that measures more than 10 amos, so then you'd have to stick in upright poles, those are konim, to reduce the open area. Ulamido al eser o al pochos. He has an illustration of this phenomenon in illustration number 3. You have an opening that without those upright poles would be more than 10 amos, and by positioning those upright poles one next to one another, the entrance, the open area, then becomes less than 10 amos. So under Roman number 2, Rochav, point Aleph was Yema'et. Point Beis, the Im Yesh Lo Tzuras HaPesach, if across the entranceway there is something called a Tzuras HaPesach, literally the form of a doorway. That's a halachic concept, the Tzuras HaPesach, which is a setup where you have two upright poles and a crossbeam going across them. There's an illustration of what a Tzuras HaPesach might look like. In the top illustration, where you see the Alephs and the Beis, the Alephs are upright poles, and the Beis is the crossbeam. That creates a Tzuras HaPesach. And as such, even if the entranceway there were more than 10 amos wide, it would be okay. You wouldn't have to reduce it. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Even if it's more than 10 amos, ain't. Let's read that again. The Yesh Lo Tzuras HaPesach Afabishu Rochav Mei Eser Mei Eser Amos Ein Tzorach Lamai. You don't have to reduce its width. The Gemara opens up with a quote from Maseches Sukkah. A sukkah, of course, is a booth with branches going across the top that we refer to as schach. The schach has a certain height beyond which it is not allowed to be placed and be considered an acceptable sukkah. In fact, the dimensions regarding sukkah are very similar to the dimensions concerning mavui. And not only that, but just like in mavui you have a machlokes tanoim, with regard to sukkah you also have a machlokes tanoim between the same opinions. You have the Tanakama versus Rebbe Yehuda. So we'll see the opening of the Gemara, Tanan Hossam. It says over there in the Mishnah in Sukkah, Sukkah she'i gavoa lamalo me'esum amos. Sukkah whose schach is more than 20 amos from the ground, psula. It's an unacceptable Sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi says, it's okay. Notice, we dashed underline the word psula. The Gemara asks, and this is also our topic heading on the side, Loshon HaMishnah Yema'it. In our Mishnah, the word that was used for something too tall was Yema'it. And here, with regard to Sukkah, you see the word Psula is used. The Gemara asks, Mai shna gabi Sukkah, the toni Psula, the gabi Movui, toni Takanta. What is the reason for the difference? That in Maseches Sukkah, the Mishnah there, when referring to something more than 20 amos, says it's unfit. And regarding the Mavui, it doesn't say the Mavui is unfit. It says that it says you must reduce it. The answer, the Gemara has two approaches to this particular question, the difference in language. Number one, Sukkah d'oraisa, toni psula. Sukkah is an institution, a mitzvah, if you will, whose origin is in the Torah. That means that when the Torah was given, the details of sukkah performance were also given, included in the details of Sukkah, the laws of Sukkah are the 20 Amma statistic. Being that the laws of Sukkah were known already, they're pre-known, if you will, so when the Mishnah was being authored, the Mishnah and Sukkah was being put together, it was on the backdrop of a previously known halacha, so that it can be said that a Sukkah that's more than 20 Amos is unfit. However, Mavui Durabonon, Tani Takanta. Mavui is not something that was pre-known. Mavui is a rabbinic invention. So as far as the laws concerning Mavui, the Mishnah is the first opportunity, if you will, to present these laws. So we don't have a backdrop upon which to say that a Mavui more than 20 is pusel. The word pusel is simply inappropriate when you are referring to something for the first time. In the case of Sukkah, it was already known information, so in recording the Mishnah that's referring to already pre-known information, we can use the term psula, that this kind of Sukkah, more than 20, is unfit. However, a Mavui, which is not coming on the backdrop of already known information, the word psula would simply be inaccurate. You wouldn't be able to use that word. Therefore, they use the term takanto, or they use the term yima'it, which represents the way you deal with it. Before we go further, let us glance at the Rashi. Dipor Hamaschio, Toni Psula. Hayu ukvar mimois moshe, nitno mida zu. Since the dimension of 20 amos for a sukkah was already given from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, bo chachom lefarish loch shim lo also came psula, and the chachom come to tell us that if you don't do it that way, it's unfit. Shayach lemisni baloshon paslus. You can use this expression of pasul as it is referring to something that was already known. The afagav de mahanya botakato. Even though reducing the height of the schach will be effective, kol kama de lo miskan lo. Ikri psula, as long as you haven't improved it, you haven't fixed it, you haven't lowered it, it is pasul. Mavui, the whole ikore de rabbanan hu, the mavui whose entire existence is a rabbinic idea, lo shayach lemeimer be loshon paslus, that term is not appropriate. Sherei kan hischilu lohorosocha iske mavui v'seirosov. This is the first time there is teaching and presentation of the laws of the Mavui. Well, my posel shayach lememar. The word posel, of what relevance would it be? Akati lo hodiahu rabbonon shirei. The rabbonon have not as yet informed you of the dimensions behochi, the lisni im lo also kein posel. So as to then be able to tell you, if I haven't taught you the dimensions, I can't then tell you that if you didn't do like that, like what? Like something I don't know, that it's puzzle. So you see the term puzzle is not appropriate. It's inaccurate. That was Procha number one. Now we continue in the Gemara. V'iboy Zema, Do'rai Sonami Toni Takato. You can say alternatively that on when it comes to Torah level laws, the Mishnayos, if necessary, will tell you the fixing, the way to improve the situation. So if that's the case, if the Mishnayos will tell you the method of improvement, so then why by Sukkah does it not do that? Ela Sukkah d'nefisha mile posik v'toni psula. Sukkah, if you look in the first Mishnah of Maseches Sukkah, nefisha mile means there are a lot of points. In fact, there are three different types of psul that are listed in the first Mishnah in Sukkah. One is a sukkah that doesn't have three walls. Another is a sukkah that doesn't have the required height. Another psul is a sukkah that whose light is more than its shade. And of course, in addition to the sukkah that is too tall. So you see, there are a number of different problems featured in the Mishnah. That's Nefisha Mili. A lot of problems are featured there. Therefore, as according to the rabbinic precept, one should always opt to teach things in the shortest way possible. So the Mishnah simply said the word psula, which covers all of the problems or the deficiencies in the sukkah that were listed in that first Mishnah. So the word psula is appropriate. Mavui delona fishimile. The issue in our Mishnah of Mavui, it doesn't have a lot of details. The Mishnah features basically one point, a Mavui whose opening is too large. So that's the only point really that our Mishnah addresses, a too large opening Mavui. Therefore, Tani Takanto uses the Takona, which again is one word, Yema'et, reduce the too large opening. So, according to the second answer, the difference between the Sukkah Mishnah and the Mavui Mishnah is a technical difference. In the Sukkah Mishnah, there were so many details, so the Tana opted for a short response to the problem, and the one word, psula, would cover everything. In the case of the Mavui, the short response, in fact, is also the solution, and hence the choice of the word Yema'et. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, and we've written the Nosei, and also indicated this topic goes till Daf Gimel Omer Aleph. It's a very long topic. Minayin la Mishnah shekachem amidos. How does the Mishnah know these dimensions, the 20 amas of height, the 10 amas of width, v'ha-protim shel Pesach, and other details concerning that which constitutes a Pesach, an opening. And a point we've made many times in our Daf Yomi Gemara Markings Shiur, and that is that there are many instances of a halachic concept that's communicated in a word or a short phrase, and by merely translating it, we would not be doing justice to the topic. In this case, you have the word Pesach. The Pesach, in this case, means an opening, but it's a halachic concept of what constitutes a Pesach. Because in English, you can have a few words referring to opening. The word opening, the word breach, doorway, etc. But we are looking here to define a concept known as a Pesach. So, when we look at our Gemara text, you will shortly notice a geometric form, a bow tie. And to the side of the Gemara text, there's a number one that appears. And you will find on Amud Beis another bow tie, number two. These are two deos b'mahu ha-mokor l'shitas Rabbi Yehuda. These are two opinions as to what the source for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. The main focus of the Gemara, though, will be on the opinion of the Tanakam of the Rabbonon. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav, Chachomim lo lomdua elo mipischo shel heichal. The Chachomim learned the dimensions for that constitute a Pesach from the opening of the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. The Heichal was we might want to call it the main chamber of the Beis HaMikdash that opened into an antechamber known as the Ulam. But in the Heichal itself, you have the golden altar, the Mizbech HaZov, you have the menorah, and the Shulchan, the table on which the Lechem Aponim sat for the week. That's the Heichal. The opening to the Heichal, on its eastern side, had these dimensions. It was 10 amas across, 20 amas tall. V'Rabbi Yehuda lo lamda elo mipischo shel ulam. At this point in the Gemara, we are of the belief that Rabbi Yehuda learned his dimensions from the opening to the ulam. As we said, the ulam was the antechamber that was, when one was walking into the Beis HaMikdash from the courtyard, one would encounter first the ulam, And there's a scheme on page 1 of the Pirush Chai that features this. What you're looking in this picture, and for some of us it might be a little hard to see it, but it's a picture featuring depth. So the ulam is a chamber closer to you. There's an attempt in this diagram to create a three-dimensional picture, with the hechal entranceway being further in as you are walking along the floor. So hopefully you can imagine this three-dimensional phenomenon. The entranceway of the ulam measures 40 amas in height and 20 amas across. As you walk further in, you encounter the hechal entranceway, which is 20 amas tall, 10 amas across. So we're dealing here with entranceways. Let us now continue in the Gemara. This Nan, the Tanaic source, features these dimensions. Pischo shel hechal govo esrim amo v'rochboi eser amos. The entranceway of the hechal had a height of 20 amos, a width of 10 amos. V'shel ulam govo arboim amo v'rochboi esrim amos. The ulam entranceway measured 40 amos in height, 20 amos across. Ushnehem mikra echad darshu. Both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yuda expounded on the same pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'shochatoi Pesach oil moed." This is a reference to the slaughtering of a sacrifice. The sacrifices were slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, and as such, they were slaughtered opposite or near the entrance of the oil moed. The term oil moed, technically speaking, is a reference to the Mishkan in the Midbar, but we are understanding this pasuk to refer also to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara will have a special topic that deals with that very point. The Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan in looking at this pasuk, held Kedushas Hechal Luchud Kedushas Ulam Luchud. The sanctity level of the Hechal Luchud is separate, it's individual, it's distinct from the Kedushas Ulam, from the sanctity of that antechamber, the Ulam. The practical halachic implications of that would be, imagine the menorah, which is one of the three elements in the Heichal, imagine it were lit while standing in the Ulam. Or the golden mizbeach on which the incense offering took place were standing in the ulam, and the requirements for each one of those vessels were performed while they were standing in the ulam. According to the Rabbanan, that would be unacceptable, would be a violation. There would be lack of fulfillment because the sanctity level of each location is different, and the menorah demands sanctity of the Heichal, not something less, not the Ulam. V'chi k'siv Pesach Omoed, and the Rabbanan go on to explain that when the Torah says that when the Torah uses the term Pesach Omoed, a Heichal k'siv, it's a reference to the Heichal. So the word Pesach, it really means then that which is considered a Pesach is defined by the entranceway dimensions of the Heichal. And what are the dimensions of the Heichal entranceway? 20 height, 10 across. For Rabbi Huda Savar, Rabbi Huda's opinion is, also take note that we have a number one over. This is the first in a couple of approaches to understanding Rabbi Huda. So Rabbi Huda Savar, Hechav Ulam Kedusha Achas Hi. They have the same sanctity level. And as we said before, according to this approach, if you were to light the menorah or do the incense offering while the Mizbeach was standing in the Ulam, light the menorah or incense offering on the Mizbeach while they were in the Ulam, you would be okay. It would be a fulfillment. V'chiksiv Pesach Ol Moed, the term Pesach with Ol Moed, Atravai Hudichtiv, is a reference to both, takes both into consideration. And therefore, an entranceway that is more than 20 in height and more than 10 wide is still called an entranceway. After all, the ulam had dimensions twice that amount. Hence, in our Mishnah, when Rabbi Yehuda is presented with the dimensions of 20 height, 10 width, he says, you don't have to reduce that. V'iboy seima, another approach, l'Rabbi Yehuda, nami kedushas ulam l'chud u'kedushas eicha l'chud. Another approach to Rabbi Yehuda is to set him up in agreement with the Rabbanan regarding the respective sanctity levels. V'hocha hainu taimo, the Rabbi Yehuda, and here, with regard to the dimensions of the entranceway of a mavui, the basis of Rabbi Yehuda is, d'chtiv, there is a pasuk that says El Pesach Oil, El Pesach Ulam Habayis. Tosfos points out that technically speaking, there is no pasuk like that. It's really the fusing of two separate psukim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, in the scriptures you find, let's say, a reference to Pesach Ulam Habayis. Since that's the case, the word Pesach is appropriate to ulam. So whatever the dimensions of the ulam entranceway are, that is what is halachically, legally considered a Pesach. And a mavui, as we said before, is considered a mavui only if it has a Pesach. Then it has the status of a mavui with that which we said before. And with a Pesach, then you can introduce the tikkunim, the innovations of a korah or a lechi. If it doesn't have a Pesach, so then those innovations will not be effective in allowing carrying in the mavui. So Rabbi Yehuda says we have a scriptural reference to an ulam having a Pesach, and therefore, if an entranceway measures more than 20 in height or more than 10 in width, it doesn't need reduction, because the ulam had a Pesach with greater dimensions. For Rabbanon, their response is, Ihavi Kosav El Pesach Ulam. If the scriptural reference would have been stated like that, without the word bias in it, Kidikwamris, then I would agree that the entranceway to an ulam is called a Pesach. Hashtu Dechti, but now, the scriptural reference that says El Pesach Ulam Habayis, that has a different meaning. That means Habayis HaPosuach L'Ulam. That's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash Heichal that opens to an Ulam. So that the word Pesach doesn't mean entrance way as a noun, but rather a grammatical form of speech that indicates opens into, maybe a verb form of some kind, but not a noun. Therefore, according to the Rabbanan, the scriptural reference that Rabbi Yehuda made reference to, El Pesach Ulam Habayis, does not set up the ulam as having a Pesach, but rather a description of the phenomenon that the bias opens into the heichal, opens into the ulam. Notice the arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Align this with the arrow further up, and you see we're pointing to a line where it's the pasuk appeared for Shachato Pesach Ol Moed. The dimensions in the Mishnah of the Mavui entranceway and the source that we've been making reference to of, let's say, the precedent for those dimensions were found in the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk, though, did not refer to the Beis HaMikdash. V'ha kiksiv hai, this pasuk, Pesach HaMoed, b'mishkan kiksiv, it was stated with regard to the Mishkan, the slaughtering of sacrifices done by the entranceway of the Mishkan. So from that, we would learn that the Mishkan had a Pesach. We don't see any reference to the Beis HaMikdash having a Pesach. And we know that a mavui, in order to be to be allowed, needs to have a Pesach in the first place. Then, and only then, can you use the Korah or Lechi innovation. The Gemara answers very simply, Ashkichon Mishkan de Ikri Mikdash, u Mikdash de Ikri Mishkan. scripturally, we have found that the Mishkan is referred to as the Mikdash, and the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, is referred to the Mishkan. So, practically speaking, whatever laws apply to the Mishkan will apply to the Beis HaMikdash, and vice versa. So that if you see the Mishkan having El Pesach, the Beis HaMikdash entranceway is also categorized as a Pesach. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the side under our Tatnose. Tatnose is a subtopic where we've written or highlighted 2 points. The first is Mishkan Ikri Mikdash, or Mikdash Ikri Mishkan. And the second point that will be dealt with in this subtopic, Shlomim Shishachton Kodem Psichas Dalsis Ahechal Psulin. Shlomim sacrifice that is slaughtered before the opening of the doors of the Beis HaMikdash is unfit. In other words, you have to wait in the morning. The Beis HaMikdash was governed by a time schedule, and therefore the timing of the slaughtering of a korban, of a sacrifice, must be such that the doors have already been opened. You'll notice in our Gemara a bracketed section. This bracketed section lasts till the second line from the top. If you use our marking, we call the bracket length indicator, the vertical dash dotted line to the immediate right hand side of the text, you can see how long this line is. We have a note that explains why we have these brackets. On the side, you'll notice a starred comment, and we've written Matras HaSugrayim, the purpose of these brackets, Laharos Ta'ad Kan Ikur HaTshuva, that the main answer, the basic answer to the question, namely, what about the Pasuk, isn't a Mishkan Pasuk, how can you use it to refer to the Beis HaMikdash? We answered that question, that the term Mishkan and Mikdash are interchangeable. Besocham, within the brackets, a Gemara Mivaseses HaTshuva, the Gemara will establish, give a basis for that answer. And the Gemara will also bring psukim to prove that. After this bracketed section, the Gemara will ask on the Rabbonin and Reb Yehuda, Bimkoim Roichav Eser, Lama Lo Loindim Roichav Esrim, Mipesach Shara Chotzer. Instead of learning a width of 10 amos, as we saw in the Mishnah, why not learn that the width of an entranceway is 20 amos from a different Pesach, Pesach Shara Chotzer? That's the entranceway, the opening to the courtyard. In fact, there we'll be discussing the courtyard of the Mishkan itself. The dimensions of that entranceway were 20 amos. So why is that not the source for entranceway width, entranceway dimensions? We can point out, maybe it's a bit premature, but when we get to that discussion, the issue of height will not figure in the discussion. As far as height of entranceway, we already have our source for that. You might want to say that in a manner of speaking, the larger the dimension, once you have a larger dimension for a Pesach, then there's no need to introduce something that has a smaller dimension as being the definition of a Pesach, because once the larger dimension is established as a Pesach, so that automatically includes any smaller number. So now let us turn to the Gemara, the bracketed section, realizing that after the bracketed section, we will then embark on this new question of why is the width defined as we've seen 10 amos when you can find an entranceway whose width is defined as 20 amos. In the meantime, the last point we made was that the term Mishkan and Mikdash are interchangeable, that the Mishkan can be referred to as a Mikdash, and a Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, could be referred to by a term reflecting Mishkan. De'i lo teima hachi. If you don't say thusly, that the terms are interchangeable, and that what applies to one applies to the other, if you don't say that, note also, we're about to start a long point. This is also indicated by our long marking. The nun that you see encircled is a nekuda, a point, a long point. So he says, "De'i lo teimoch." If you don't say thusly, ha diyomer of Yehuda mar Shmuel, that which Rav Yehuda teaches, shlomim sheshochton kudim psichas dalsa sahechal psulim. Shlomim, it's known as in English a peace offering, it's a type of korban that's slaughtered before the opening of the doors of the hechal are unfit. Shenemar v'shachatoi pesach oil moyed, and the posuk is darshened bisman shepsuchin. The word pesach is meant to also has this meaning of when they are open, when the doors are open. V'lo bisman shehein neulin, and not when they're locked. That law that the doors must be open, that pasuk b'mishkan ksiv, that pasuk was written in the context of the Mishkan. How would you know that that law applies to the Beis HaMikdash? Ella ashkechon mikdash de'ikri mishkan, u'mishkan de'ikri mikdash. No problem. Granted, it's written in the context of the Mishkan, but we find that the Mikdash is referred to as Mishkan, so that if you have a pasuk written about Mishkan, it applies to the Beis HaMikdash, which was, of course, a structure built many years after the Mishkan. And we also find Mishkan de'ikri Mikdash. The term Mikdash is used to refer to the Mishkan. And now, the Gemara will prove these two points. Bishlama Mikdash de'ikri Mishkan. Granted, we find the Mikdash referred to by the term Mishkan de'chtiv. This is a pasuk referring to the Beis HaMikdash. It says, V'nosati Mishkani besochechem. So you see we dashed underlined the word Mishkani, and that is talking about the Beis HaMikdash, the structure initially built by Shlomo HaMelech, 480 years after the Jews left Mitzrayim. Ela Mishkan de'ikri Mikdash min Olan. Where do you see the Mishkan referred to by the term Mikdash? Marking wise, you'll notice a double underline, and on the side under the Mivneh, this highlights Shlavim Lochiach the Mishkan Ikri Mikdash. These are stages in proving that the Mishkan is called Mikdash. So, first stage, I Lema Midichtiv Min Vinasu Hakehasim Noisei HaMikdash Vikimu Es HaMishkan Ad Bo'am. This pasuk refers to the transportation of the Mishkan in the Midbar, in the desert. The Kassim were the family of Levium that were responsible for this. And in this pasuk, you can see we dashed on the line the word HaMikdash. It says, no same Mikdash, they were the carriers of the Mikdash. And they set up the Mishkan. So you can see that the term Mikdash is interchangeable with the word Mishkan. The Gemara says that this is not a source for what we're looking. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Hahu ba'orang siv. The word mikdash in that pasuk is a reference to the holy ark that contained the Ten Commandments. That the word mikdash means the sanctified one. That's the oron, which was highly sanctified in so much that it carried the Ten Commandments. So that's not a source for mikdash as a reference to Mishkan. Elomehocha. Notice the double underline is our second stage. Rather from here, Pasuk in Shmos, Perek, Chofhei, Pasuk, Ches, V'osu li Mikdash, V'shochanti, V'socham. This Pasuk is in reference to the building, the construction of the Mishkan. And it says, you shall make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell amongst them. So the word Mikdash is referring to the Mishkan. So we see the Mishkan is called Mikdash. Now we have a question. This question, you'll notice, is a long question. And as we get into the question a bit, you will notice there is a bracketed section. And there are notes that accompany this section of Gemara. So first, structurally, take note of the fact that it's a long question. Secondly, notice that there are brackets. In fact, there are two types of brackets that will appear in this source. One is a longer set of brackets, and there's a bracket length indicator to help you with that, and some angular brackets that we'll be using also. All of this will be explained as we go along. We have notes to the side of the Gemara that will help to clarify these points. The question starts, second line from the top, Bein l'Rabbonon u'Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda. Whether you're the Rabbonon or Rabbi Yehuda, it also appeared in our Mishnah, regarding the width of an entranceway. Lufu, learn out, the word lufu is to mean to learn out, derive, mi Pesach Shara Chotzer, learn from the entranceway of the temple courtyard, of the Mishkan courtyard, which would enable you to have an opening up till 20 amos and not be considered a breach. And rather, it's considered a Pesach, and you can have something up till 20 amos across, and you don't have to reduce its size, and you can use your lechi or korah to machshir the mavui. Learn, so again, what's the question? Learn from Pesach Shar HaChotzer. Now, skip the bracketed section, and we continue. Ma lahalon chomesh baroichav esrim, just like there, by the Pesach Shar HaChotzer, it measured 20 amos across. We dashed underline baroichav esrim, af kan, so too by the mavui, chomesh baroichav esrim. You can have, by the mavui also, an entranceway width of 20 amos, not like our Mishnah spoke about 10 amos. The Gemara will answer this question immediately. It says, Pesach Shar Chotzer Ikri, Pesach Stam Alo Ikri. That's one answer. V'boy Seymo. Another answer is, Ksi Ki Ksiv Kloim Chomesh Yisri Amo, etc. There was a second approach. Of course, we'll go over those when we get to it. The question is very simple then. Whether you're Rabbanan or Rabbi Yehuda, the precedent for Pesach width should have been the Pesach Shar Chotzer, which is 20, much wider than 10 that we've been speaking about till now. Now, in the brackets, the note, there's a little circle that draws your attention to the side of the Gemara. Sograyim l'shem diluk. The brackets that we just experienced were for skipping purposes, as we demonstrated. L'hokel ala kriya kedei liros miyad toichen akushya, to make the reading easier so that you see immediately the essence or the content of the question. B'sochon muva horeka l'kushya, within the brackets, all of the background for developing the question is presented. So now we're aware of what the purpose of this brackets are, is to separate the details from the main point. The main point is simply to present the question. In the brackets is background information. Tichtiv. Regarding the Shar HaChotzer, which is the entranceway to the Mishkan courtyard, it says, Orech HaChotzer Me'o Ba'amo, the length of the courtyard was 50, V'Roichav Chamishim B'Chamishim, and there was a width of the courtyard 50. We have a note, and you'll see this, star. You'll notice there's a starred note on the side. Na'akov acharei akivkuv ro'im. If you na'akov is to keep track of the dashed underlining. You'll notice in the next few lines of Gemara there is dashed underlining that takes place. We will see the following. Rochav klali shel 50 amas. That means a general width of 50. That was the first dashed underlining. That means the courtyard measured 50 amas across. Stimas hakloim. Kloim are curtains that served as, we'll say, the enclosure of the courtyard. The court was enclosed not by a solid wall, but by curtains strung across upright poles. Those are the Kloyim. The Kloyim across the eastern side accounted for 30 Amos. The 30 Amos was made up of 2 times 15. 15 to the right of the entranceway and 15 to the left of the entranceway. 15 Amos were made of curtains. So of the 50 Amos general width, 30 Amos were curtains. Nish'a roichav pesach esrim. Leaving you 20 Amos of non-curtains, meaning of opening. There is a diagram that demonstrates this. It's the top of page 2 in the Pirush Chai. You can see the bays were Chomesh Esrei Amo Kloyim Lekosef. The word Lekosef in the diagram is a term found in the Gemara, which means to the side of the entranceway. We continue in the Gemara. Again, to make things easier, we're taking it slowly, but hopefully with great clarity. Notice our dashed underlining. We already dashed underlined Roichav Chamishim. That's the total width of courtyard, 50 Amos. And then you see the term Chamesh Esrei dashed underlined twice. Chamesh Esrei is 15. 2 times 15 is 30. The 15s are reference to the curtains. So you have 30 Amos across of curtains out of a total of 50 Amos, leaving you 20 Amos of non-curtains, namely opening, entranceway. You notice there's an angular brackets that we have in the Gemara. That's explained also by the note next to the double star. Sograyim elu, uba'oid arba shuros, misamnim she'inyin hagova tofel kan. The height dimension that is presented in this discussion concerning the Pesach Shara Chotzer is subsidiary. It's inconsequential for our immediate discussion. So we're de-emphasizing that so as to keep things very clear. We're focusing on width in our current discussion. So in that which we have read already, we saw the pasuk that says the Urech Echotzer was Mea Bama V'Roichav Chamishim B'Chamishim V'Koyma Chomesh Amos. So that's one pasuk. Uksiv, another pasuk says V'Chomesh Esrei Amo Kloyim Lakosef, 15 Amos of curtains Lakosef. The word Lakosef means it means to one side of the entranceway. Uksiv Ukosef Ashenis Mizeh U'Mizeh L'Shar Echotzer Kloyim Chomesh Esrei Amo. On the other side of the entranceway, that's Kosef Hashem, it's the other side of the entranceway, had, again, curtains measuring 15 Amos. What then do we see? That the width of the entranceway of the Shara Chotzer was 20 Amos. Ma lahalon chomesh baroichav esrim, just like over there, you had we dashed on roichav esrim, an entranceway of 20 Amos. Afkan, by the Movui, Chomesh Baroichav Esrim. Let the Movui entranceway also be 20 Amos. Let us learn from the Pesach Shara Chotzer. The Gemara answers, number one, Pesach Shara Chotzer Ikri, Pesach Stama Lo Ikri. We are looking to define that which is called Pesach, not something else. The term regarding the entranceway to the Mishkan is a compound term. It's not the generic term Pesach, but rather it's called Pesach Shara Chotzer. That indicates to us that is not going to serve as a precedent for all other entities in which you find a Pesach. So we simply discount that as a general source of information. The Iboy Esema, another approach, is an undoing basically of all the calculations we've made till now in the bracketed section above. The Iboy Esema kiksiv kloyim chomesh esrei amo lakosef, that posuk, the posuk that we've been referring to regarding the 15 Amos of curtains, that 15 amos statistic is begova hu dektiv. It's a reference to height and not width measure. It doesn't deal at all with the curtains and how much they accounted for in the width. That's what we tried to say before, that we were dealing with 2 times 15 as part of the width, leaving a balance of 20 for opening. But if you're going to tell me that the 15 amos statistic by the curtains is dealing with the height, so we have no indication of how much width the curtains accounted for in order to determine the balance of that which would constitute the width. The Gemara asks, how can you say that the 15 is a height number? Now, here we have an arrow, and this is a reference back up to the arrow before, to that which we said was subsidiary, but now we have to focus on it. There was a reference to the height. The courtyard curtain height was 5 amos, not 15. So how can the second answer be accurate? The Gemara answers, Ahu, the 5 amos reference made to before, where the first arrow appears, Misfas Mizbeach Ulamala. That's a reference to the 5 amos of height that the curtain extended upwards beyond the height of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach had reached a height of 10 amos. The curtains were a total of 15 amos. The 5 amos then in the pasuk above were the 5 amos more of curtain than Mizbeach. You can see this illustrated in the Pirush Chai on page 2. Illustration 7 and illustration 8 will be of some help. We continue in the Gemara, noticing a new marking. We see a triangle, and on the side of the Gemara we have a mivne, a structural note, and we've written Kushios al Hal de Amrinan Shrebihuda Lomad Midos Pesach Meha Ulam. We're going to now turn our attention to Rabbi Yehuda. Up till this point, we've learned that Rabbi Yehuda learned his dimensions for a Pesach from the Ulam. You might notice a star indicating to look back at Omer Aleph, and that will direct you to the line where we have our bow tie, where it indicated that Rabbi Yehuda learned from the Pischos Shel Ulam. So that is what we are going to challenge as the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda mipischo shel ulam gomar. Is that really so that Rabbi Yehuda learns from the entranceway of the ulam? That resulted in his allowing an entranceway of more than 10 amos. The Hotnan, but have we not learned in the Mishnah, Varochav Me'eser Amos Yimait? The Mishnah spoke about in our markings, we saw this as part of Roman numeral number 2 in our Mishnah, that a Movui entranceway more than 10 Amos must be reduced. Velopolig Rebuta. Rebuta doesn't argue with that. Now, if he were learning, in fact, from the Ulam, he would not agree. He wouldn't say, Yimait, you don't have to, Yimait. The Ulam entranceway was 20 amos across. Omar Abaye, Polig Bibraisa. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda does disagree. He learns from the Ulam entranceway, and his point of disagreement is found in another Tanaic source, in a Braisa de Sanya, the Haroch of Me'eser Amos Yimait, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzorech Limait. The entranceway of a Movui more than 10 amos, according to the Tanakhama, must be reduced. And Rabbi Yehuda, we dashed underline his, I want to emphasize his name. He says, Eino Tzorech Limait, you don't have to reduce that. The Gemara answers, Veliflog, the Gemara asks, Veliflog Vimas Nisan. Very nice, he argues in the Braisa, but why doesn't he present his dissenting opinion regarding the width in our Mishnah? The Gemara answers, Polig Begova V'adin L'rochba. He does argue with regard to the height, and by the fact that he expresses a dissenting opinion regarding the height, we can understand that he disagrees also regarding the width. But still, Va'akati, and again, we have a long question. Note its length. Va'akati, Rabbi Yehuda mipischo shel ulam gomar, v'hatanya. We have a source that indicates that he doesn't learn from the entranceway of the ulam. We have a source that says, Movu shu'u govoa me'esrim amo yema'i. Rabbi Yehuda machshir ad arboim v'chamishim amo. V'toni bar kapora ad mea. So we have a Tanaic source. We can see Rabbi Yehuda's name appears here. We dashed underline him for emphasis. And we also dashed underline 50. The nun means 50 amos. So there's we have a source here indicating that a movui whose height is up to 50 amos is kosher. Bar kapora says up to 100 amos. These are numbers that extend beyond the height of the ulam. So who's learning from the ulam? Bishlamola bar kapora guzma. Bar kapora might very well have learned from the ulam. When he says ad mea amo, he's exaggerating. In other words, he knows that you can have a height of more than 20. You can have a height of even up till 40, like the ulam. But once you're allowing 40, which is so much more than 20, he says you can have it even up to 100, just as an expression of exaggeration. But not, don't take that 100 literally. Elo l'Rav Yehuda, my guzma. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the guzma? What's the exaggeration? Bishlamo arboim gomar mipischo shel ulam. The 40 that Rabbi Yehuda mentions in this brisa, that is a statistic similar to the ulam. Elo chamishim min ole. What's the 50? Now, the 50 is not an expression. It's not a dimension of exaggeration. Where did he get the 50 from? Apparently, he doesn't learn from the ulam. Well, that's our question. Omar Rav Chisda. Now, we are going to learn an answer. Notice the answer is a long answer. Rav Chisda says that, in fact, he does not learn from the ulam. In fact, that which we featured in our bow tie on Omen Aleph is not accurate. Rather, ho masniso at ise l'rav. The following Tanaic source confused Rav. Notice we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omen Aleph. Go to Omen Aleph, skim down till you find on the left-hand side an arrow. That is pointing to the line where Rav's name appeared. Rav introduced the opinions of the Tanoim, of the Chachamim, and Rebbe Yehuda. It's at that point in the Gemara Omen Aleph that Rav said Rebbe Yehuda learns from the Ulam. However, Rav came to that conclusion by mistake. What source misled Rav? Desanyo. Here we have a Tanaic source. There's an arrow that points to, on the right-hand side of the Gemara text, that points, again, back to Omen Aleph on the right-hand side. So you have to find the reference. We made a mistake there. Let's correct ourselves. This arrow will be used later on when we get to the Gimel Omen Aleph. What does it say in this source? Movui shu gavoa me'esrim amo yoyser mipischo shel hechal yema'it. A movui that has a height of more than 20 amas, which is more than the entrance to the hechal, must be reduced. That's a Tanaic source. Hu savar, that is Rav, thought. Mi derabonon, the pischo shel hechal gamri, from the fact that the rabbonon learned Pesach dimensions from the hechal, Rabbi Yehuda mipischo shel ulam gomar. Rabbi Yehuda had greater dimensions. He learned from a neighboring entranceway, namely that of the ulam. Velohi, and that's simply wrong. It's true the rabbonon learned from the hechal, but that doesn't mean that Rabbi Yehuda learns from the ulam. Rabbi Yehuda mipischo de molochim gomar. Rabbi Yehuda learns large dimension entranceways from the openings to palaces. So as far as openings to palaces are concerned, you can have entranceways of 40 amas and even up to 50 amas. He doesn't learn from the ulam whatsoever. The Gemara continues. We now turn our attention back to the Rabbonon. Verabonon imi pisfo shel heichal gmiri, if the Rabbonon really learn from the entrance way of the heichal, liboi dalsos keheichal, there should be a requirement of having doors on the movui, just like the heichal had doors affixed to hinges, closing the entrance way completely. Aloma tnan, so why do we have the following teaching? The hechshur of a movui, that which allows a movui for internal carrying, Beishamai says you need to have a upright, not a lechi, and a cross beam. Beisilo says one or the other, an upright or a korah, but no mention of doors are made whatsoever. So a movui doesn't need doors, but if you're learning from the heichal, so require doors. The Gemara answers, Delasus Hechal with Snis Ba'amuhu the Avidon. Doors were not part of the definition of a Pesach. The doors were Litznius for modesty purposes, so they don't have it opening, gaping open so people can just gawk inside whenever they like. Litznius, an element of modesty. So modesty is very important, but it doesn't function as a definer of a Pesach. Therefore, when we are seeking definitions through dimensions of what a Pesach is, doors are not a factor. A new geometric form appears. We have a diamond, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, we've indicated, Kushios al-ho di-amrinon di-rabonon lomdu mi-pesach echal. These are questions question the Heichal as being the basis of the Rabbonon. So, in a sense, this really continues the series of questions that we already started. So, Elomei Ato, that the din of Pesach Movui is learned from the Heichal, lo tehene le tsuras ha-Pesach. Then, tsuras ha-Pesach should not be effective in allowing more than 10 amos. In other words, if you're a strict adherent to learning from Heichal, we know that the Heichal had a tsuras ha-Pesach, it had two uprights and a crossbeam at its entranceway, and yet it was limited to 10 amos. How then can you say that a movui that would have a tsuras ha-Pesach, you would allow more than 10 amos? So let's continue and let's read this again in the Gemara. Elo me'ato, if it's so that the Rabbonon learned from the Heichal, lo tehene le tsuras ha-Pesach, then a tsuras ha-Pesach should not, tehene is to benefit, le is the movui. A tsuras ha-Pesach should not benefit the movui in allowing an entranceway more than 10. To ha heichal tsuras ha-Pesach havilo, the heichal had a tsuras ha-Pesach, afilu hachi esur amos uda avya, uda raviach. Even so, the heichal had an entranceway of only 10 amos. Aloma tnan, so why in our Mishnah does it say that a tsuras ha-Pesach does enable you to have an entranceway of more than 10 amos? It says in our Mishnah, im yesh loy tsuras ha-Pesach, if a movui has a tsuras ha-Pesach at its entranceway, afal pi she-rochav me-eser amos eino tzorach l'mayit, even if it's more than 10 amos across, you don't have to reduce it. The Gemara answers, this whole discussion of connecting Movui entranceway to Heichal, where did it come from? Who invented that? Who introduced that idea? That was Rav. Midi hu taimo ela l'Rav? Is this not an explanation according to none other than Rav? Well, ha masni le Rav Yehuda l'chiyo barav kameda Rav. There was on an occasion, Rav Yehuda was teaching our Mishnah to Rav's son, and he taught it as we have it in our text, Eino Tzorach Lemayit, that if it's got a Tzuras HaPesach, you don't have to reduce. And you know what happened? The Omale and Rav intervened and said, Asne, teach my son Sorich Lemayit. Change the text. You're teaching him something that is not accurate. You do have to reduce it. That means if the Movui, even if the Movui happens to have a Tzuras HaPesach, Rav will tell you, you must reduce it. If the Tzuras HaPesach is positioned over an opening of more than 10 amos of width. And why must you reduce it? Because the Movui entranceway must resemble the Heichal entranceway. The Heichal entranceway had a Tzuras HaPesach, and yet it was no more than 10. So to your Movui entranceway that has a Tzuras HaPesach, if it's more than 10, Tzorech Lemayit, you do have to reduce it. So therefore, there is, because of this awareness that Rav was sensitive to the parallel between Movui and Pesach Heichal, we no longer have any question. You can see that there's another diamond, again a challenge to this idea that we learn from Pesach Heichal. This question is a long question, it's a very long question. There's a great amount of detail in this question. Hence, in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiurim, this would be a very convenient stopping place, even though we are, in fact, in the middle of a discussion. That having been said, our hope is that at the beginning of our next shiur, with a very brief introduction, we'll be able to continue the flow of thought. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.